Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to badlandsranch.com/save50 and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to badlandsranch.com/save50 today.
A lot of ways at cornerback, because they have a lot of bodies, and we haven't even brought up guys like Tyler Hall, who they signed as a free agent. He's a natural slot corner. So all of a sudden, if he jumps up, we don't even talk about poor Zach McPherson anymore. I don't see any way Zach's going to make the team.
Welcome back in, everybody, to Monday's edition of Birds 365. Johnny Mac and I are going to do our initial 53-man roster predictions. They haven't held a practice yet, but we're still going to predict the project what could be the 53-man roster. I do think it's a good exercise, Johnny Mac, though, to see the depth on the roster. There's depth at certain positions. There's less depth than others. Linebacker, obviously, as we've talked about. But we'll run through it. Johnny Mac, what we're going to do is I'm going to list the position, and I'll give out some options. Obviously, in some instances, there'll be more options than in others. But you tell me who you think makes the roster. We'll obviously start with quarterback. It gets interesting after QB1, who's obviously Jalen Hurts. But Jalen Hurts, Kenny Pickett, Tanner McKee, and they also signed Will Greer this offseason. Maybe he's a sneak in at QB3, or maybe Kenny Pickett gets jumped for QB2. Johnny Mac, who do you have on the quarterbacks making the roster this year?
Yeah, I think that one's pretty clear cut. I think the only thing more clear cut is the specialist, because, you know, that's going to be Jake Elliott, Braden Mann, Rick Lobato, bang, nothing, no competition. So no, that's 100% barring injury. Quarterback, it's going to be Jalen. Kenny's going to be the backup. Tanner McKee is the developmental quarterback. Will Greer's here because he's got a long history with
Kellen,
both
right?
Doug Nussmeier and Kellen Moore.
Yeah,
so,
he's with Kellen both spots,
So he knows the offense. It's that extra guy on the field with the actual players that can maybe impart that on that peer-to-peer level. And he might, you know, if you want to keep him around for a practice squad in that sort of role. But no, it's going to be Hurts. It's going to be Pickett. It's going to be Tanner McKee. He's not here to push anybody.
Yeah, so let's move it. We'll do all offense first, and then we'll roll over to the defense on the other side. As Johnny Mac mentioned, we already really hit the specialist. There's no debate, no question there. Let's move to running back, Johnny Mac. This one's an interesting one. I mean, they do have a couple on the roster that are deep. They have Trey Sermon. Oh, no, he was last year. Trey and Rashad both didn't play, but they kept just three last year. Who do you think they keep in the running back room outside of, obviously, Saquon?
Well, no, they kept four. They kept four for the past two seasons, but they didn't use them. And that was Trey Sermon in 2022, and last year was Rashad Penny.
Right.
And they never used it. So they kept four. In theory, you know, maybe they – I think they want to keep four. I think they need – I've been talking about it for a while. They need a big north-south runner. They don't have that. It's big. Barkley, Gainwell, Shipley, Will Shipley, the rookie, those guys are locked in. But I do think they're all the same. There's a redundancy there. They're more.
Yeah, they're the same. They're the same guys, different skill levels.
Well, much different skill levels, but they're the same type of running back. They're not.
Yeah, which is what I don't like. Chain. I mean, give me a new flavor.
I and they have guys like Ty Davis Price, who's one of the futures contracts that Howie brought up in the offseason a lot, former third round pick from San Francisco recently, very similar to Trey Sermon. Kendall Milton's the undrafted guy they signed this year, big back from Georgia, move the chains guy.
I wonder if he could be maybe a fourth running back they keep around. I mean, he kind of does fit that mold of the north to south guy, right?
Yeah, and so does Price. So those are the two guys. I think Ty Davis Price would be the one to keep an eye on. It's a former LSU guy, as I said, third round pick in 2022, I think, 220 between the tackles guy. They need that presence. I think they need that presence. And for those thinking they're only going to keep three running backs, go back to what Jeff Kerr has said. You got to worry about Saquon Barkley's right. durability. So 100%. You need that extra body. It might be Davis Price. It might be Milton. Might even be Lou Nichols, but it's going to be somebody. It might be somebody from outside the organization. Right now, I'd lean towards Ty Davis Price.
Interesting, because a lot of people have been talking about Kendall Milton, the undrafted guy from Georgia, but Johnny Mack has Ty Davis Price up there. Let's move to wide receiver. This one actually is an interesting position to look at and look at the depth. Obviously, we have A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith slotted in as wide receiver one and two. But Johnny Mack, where do you go from there? They signed Devontae Parker this offseason. They signed Paris Campbell. I don't know if you're going to get much of those guys. And they have a couple drafted guys. Who do you have on receiver, and how many are they going to keep on the roster?
Probably six, and the guys you know are going to make it are A.J., Devontae, Anaya Smith, Britton Covey, because of his punt return ability, and probably Johnny Wilson would be the five. This team tends to defer to draft picks, and they want to keep their draft picks. Right. If Johnny shows up and doesn't impress, and I think he will, I just explained, then maybe it goes in a different direction. You get waivers, get him on the practice squad. So if that's the way it shakes out, that means you can only keep one of two, Devontae Parker and Paris Campbell, the veteran guys. And that's going to be interesting, because I think the best case scenario for the Eagles is for young players to beat both of those guys out.
Right.
I think that's the best case scenario. But Paris Campbell's going to be the one that gets an opportunity first. Like, I think he's going to start as the slot receiver.
Right.
And he'll have to lose the job. So I think he's a little bit ahead. Devontae Parker's going to be more of an outside backup. And I think if Johnny Wilson is even close to what they think he's going to be, you know, why are you keeping a 30-plus-year-old guy who is a contested catch player?
Yeah.
So I'm going to lean more towards Paris Campbell as being number six.
Yeah, a little bit of redundancy, I guess, if you keep Parker and keep Johnny Wilson. Any chance Johnny Wilson could be a slot? Is he too big?
Too big. Too big.
Too big, right? Yeah.
Six. I mean, some teams were looking at him as a tight end.
Yeah.
And you could do it that way, have a flex receiver. But the Eagles made it very clear, because they got those questions, both Nick and Howie on the record. He's a receiver. They look at him as a receiver. He's not a tight end. And as a receiver, he's strictly an outside the numbers guy.
Yeah, the only reason I say slot is because this year I'd really like them to see them give Jalen Hurts some easier outlets. Now, I'm not saying Johnny Wilson's going to get open that easily, but he's a huge body. I don't always want to see Hurts have to make these big, huge throws. Like, make it easier a little bit. Give him a 6'6 target across the middle, you know, 5 to 8 yards deep. And if Hurts needs it, he's there, you know, at least on the move to try and get him. But he might be too big.
I should add, with Covey, some people think,
because they drafted so many
players who have return ability.
Right.
Cooper DeJean are the, you know, Will Shipley's mainly a kickoff returner. Cooper DeJean can return punts, but he's going to have a significant defensive role, or that's the plan. They are going to mess with him. They're not
going to. No, I don't think so. Unless maybe they did, like, do you remember when they, I guess it was 2 years ago, when if the situation was super deep or it wasn't so deep.
Yeah, that was Devontae.
They would use like Devontae Smith.
Yeah,
right?
And that, yeah, that could be a situation. But
right
now that was year one of Cubby, he was the best punt returner in the NFL, bottom line, last year. Yeah. So he's a different version. Anaya Smith is the one guy who could, you know, if you're trying to gain a roster spot, but why would you want to keep 30-year-old receivers who haven't done much over the best punt returner in the NFL? Yeah, I don't
see that. Doesn't feel like the Eagles would see it like that either. I mean, they're trying to get younger, I'm sure, especially when you have guys that haven't done anything at 30 years old. Let's move into tight end. Dallas Goedert, to me, is the only lock there. Who do you have after that, and how many will they keep?
Well, they got to keep three. CJ Uzama is going to be the backup, you know, unless he has nothing left. And I, you know, he's still got plenty in the tank from a blocking standpoint. So right away, you're probably actually a little bit better than you were with Jack Stoll, to be honest.
Yeah, where did Jack Stoll sign? He left in free agency. Yeah. Oh, New York. Okay.
Big guy, 270. I mean, he was a big time player in Cincinnati, and kind of got hurt last year with the Jets. And we'll see how much he had left. He's 31, so he's older, but he's a better backup than Jack Stoll. So for those, you know, I think they actually get better at the position.
Yeah, if Uzama can stay healthy, I do think he's a significant upgrade.
Yeah, same here. You know, it's not going to be long term, but at least you have it. And then third is going to be a legit competition between Albert Agwegbanon and Grant Calcaterra. You know, those guys got to, this is their last chance to prove, and it should be a battle. And even, you know, they signed an undrafted kid, McAllen Castles. I don't think he's more of a practice squad potential down the road, but he's also a receiving tight end first. So they have three similar players, Alberto, Calcaterra, and the rookie undrafted kid. I would say that of that group, by far the most talented and gifted is Alberto. Can he put it together? I don't know, but this is his last chance. That would be the best case scenario. So I'm going to lean.
How do they view Calcaterra? I know a lot of people were really excited about the prospect.
I mean, he just hasn't. He hasn't. The problem with him is he's just a receiving tight end. He's not going to help you much in blocking.
Yeah.
Albert's a receiving tight end as well, but he's much bigger, and at least he can get in people's way so we can. And by the way, Albert's more proven. He's had some success in Denver. Grant hasn't done anything. It's put up or shut up for Grant Calcaterra. He's got to, if he outplays Alberto, they'll keep him. But those guys, that's a legitimate competition. And right now, I would say Albert has more gifts, and you should hope that he wins it. No guarantee he can win it.
I want him to win it for the name. I like Okwegbanom better than I like Calcaterra.
Yeah, so they're both pretty good, though.
Yeah, they are both pretty good. But Alberto, something about Albert Okwegbanom is cool to me. Offensive line, Johnny Mac, this is where we've been, you know, everybody's been talking about it all offseason. Most of it's locked into place, but there is some questions after Jason Kelce retired. I think there's some questions here. I'll let you obviously get into who you think's a lock, but Trevor Keegan, Dylan McMahon, Matt Hennessy, Mekhi Becton. There's a lot of guys. Fred Johnson's even out there. Like, who's going to make the team here, and who will they keep, and for what reasons? You know, some guys fill different roles better than, you know, if they would rather keep a swing tackle versus a third or fourth right guard, you know? Yeah.
I think, you know, this is kind of, there's eight guys that I think are comfortable. And that's obviously the starters from left to right, Jordan Mailata, Landon Dickerson, Cam Jurgens, Tyler Steen, and he's a starter penciled in, Lane Johnson. Then the other three guys, Trevor Keegan, Matt Hennessy, Mekhi Becton, I would say are definites. In the case of Hennessy, obviously injury concerns if he's healthy, but And then you talk about game day. He would be the interior backup. Hennessy and Mekhi Becton would be the swing tackle. Trevor Keegan, you know, is going to make the team as a rookie. Dylan McMahon, I just said the Eagles defer to draft picks. In his case, though, if he doesn't perform well in the summer, I could see them pushing him through to the practice squad if they need the spot. Fred Johnson is the player. Mekhi Becton would be replacing. If they want to keep 10, he could, you know, be part of it as well. And then they'll try to work the practice squad issue. They're always going to have two or three guys on the practice squad. Jeff Stoutland always has to have, always wants to have a center on the practice squad, a legitimate center. That could be McMahon's role if he doesn't. You know, you still have Brett Toth here. He's going to be probably back. LaRaven Clark is a guy. He's injured right now. And we'll see how that projects moving forward. Jordan Mailata loves him as somebody who's helped him with his development. So there's a lot of names, and generally, and one of them, Leakin Vaikalahi, is their international pathway program.
Right,
so they don't need a spot for him. He's going to be around. But you know, Jeff's going to like one of those guys. But I'm going to keep 9 because I got to go heavy at corner. Mm-hmm. And my 9 is going to be the starters. And again, Tyler Steen is going to get pushed. Plus Trevor Keegan, Mekhi Becton, Matt Hennessy. And it's going to be Fred Johnson or Dylan McMahon. And I'm going to go, because of Hennessy's versatility, I'm going to go Fred Johnson and put McMahon on the practice squad.
John, real quick, if Cam Jurgensen, I don't know if my internet's holding right now. The answer to this question can't be Jason Kelce. If Cam Jurgensen goes down, who's going to be the center?
Oh, Matt Hennessy. No question about it. No doubt about it. Matt Hennessy.
I'm going to break my own rule. I'm going to say Jason Kelce is going to come back. He's going to come in like a blaze of glory.
And Jason, for all those who, there's plenty of video out from the autism stuff. Jason's already lost a significant amount of weight.
Yeah, which is the biggest indicator. Barrett Brooks used to always say that. He always used to say, if you want to know whether a guy's really retired, especially a lineman, just watch their weight, because they can't lose that much weight if they retire and they want to come back.
Yeah. So yeah. And he signed with ESPN. Not that guys have done that in the past, but and come
even back. Joe anyway. Buck was teasing it though. Like, we're going to Philly in week 2. Let's see if we're going to start with Jason Kelce. We're going to go there with Jason Kelce. We'll see if we leave. All right. So that's it for the offensive side of the football. Pretty good projections about what I anticipated. Let's move to the defensive side. We'll start with the edge rushers. Who do you have at edge? I think there's obviously a couple locks here. Huff, Sweat, BG, Nolan Smith. I guess outside of that, there might not be much more depth there, but who do you have?
Yeah, I do think it's pretty clear cut. Bryce Hopp, Josh Sweat, Brandon Graham, Nolan Smith, and Jalix Hunt, as you know, you're gonna have to carry obviously Jalix as a developmental
player. Yeah, third round pick. They're gonna keep him.
And you know, a lot was made. The Eagles keep talking about Julian Okwara. And I'm sure they'll try to get him through onto the practice squad. But you know, it's going to be really difficult to keep 6. So I don't see a path right now. Now somebody gets hurt, somebody gets injured, you manipulate it that way. But for right now, everybody stays healthy. Yeah. That's pretty clear cut. With Hop, Sweat, Graham, BG for his final season, Nolan Smith and Jalix Hunt.
Yeah, I think that's an easy one there. Let's go interior D-line. This is where I have questions. I got to be honest. You lose Fletcher Cox. Now you're relying on a lot of young guys to step up, how many snaps they play, and their productivity in those snaps. So who do you have at interior D-line? I think the three locks are Jalen Carter, Jordan Davis, and Milton Williams. Who do you have after that?
Yeah, I think it's going to be Marlon Tuipulotu and Moro Ajomo. I think, you know, I look at it overall to keep 10 guys on the defensive front, so to speak.
Right.
Edge rushers, interior. PJ Mustipher is a guy, because I always talk about Jordan Davis's impact on the defense. And if he goes down, you can't play the 50 fronts as much, the five-man fronts, unless you have a legitimate backup at nose tackle.
Yeah, and Mustipher serves that role, right?
Well, he might. I mean,
he has the best chance to, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, he's 320-pound guy. Right now, it would be Marlin, who you know can be serviceable. I think he's better at it than, say, when they forced Javon Hargrave to do it in 2021. He's a better run defender than that, but he's undersized, and you're not going to feel comfortable playing that front. So low depth issue there behind Jordan Davis. I'm sure they'll try to get Mustipher on the practice squad. I don't think they want to give up on Moro Ojomo yet, and nor should they, but you know, if Mustipher really impresses in training camp, I could see him getting that fifth spot because of his natural ability to be a backup to Jordan Davis. And then it would be Marlon T against Moro for that final spot. But right now, I'll stick with both Marlon and Moro Ojomo.
Is that enough in there, Johnny? I mean, I got to say, I have high hopes. I know hope is not a strategy, but I do like the prospect of, I think Milton Williams is going to take a huge step. I think he really has the ability to be a good defensive tackle in this league. But, I mean, you did lose Fletcher Cox. Now you're really banking on those Georgia guys to step up. And after that, they don't have much. They don't have much depth.
Well, I think Marlon's a pretty good backup. I mean, when you're down to the fourth interior guy. And Moro Ojomo's unproven. But yeah, I mean, that's Ojomo
was he the 2023? He was a 2023 sixth round pick, I believe, right out of Texas.
I think it was seventh, but yeah. Seventh round pick. And they like him, and well, like he's not guaranteed. But as I said, if PJ Mustipher can show and really performs well, I could see him changing the numbers there. But for now, I think Marlon and Moro are the two best players, and they're both undersized. Moro's under 300 pounds, so he's more of an under tackle or eye guy. And Marlon can play nose tackle and shade, but it's probably undersized to do it a lot.
Chance Gabe Hall? Everybody's talking about Gabe Hall. I know he's an undrafted guy, but he's big.
Well, he's definitely going to be on the practice squad, but he's also more of a tweener. He's not going to help you when it comes to the run stopping game. So right now, that's my biggest concern. They don't have a backup for Jordan Davis. But when you talk about after Carter and Dan, I mean, those, the whole foundation, I talk about it all the time. Yeah. Those are your two guys. You got to build this defense on those two guys. If they fail, you're screwed. So I mean, it's not about finding people that can replace them or be. Those guys have to succeed, have to, for this defense to go where it wants to go.
Yeah, it's like A.J. Brown on the offense. I mean, you know, you're not going to plan to not have proven, A.J. Brown. But, yeah, you're relying on him to be successful. So let's move into the highly anticipated, the highly debated linebacker position. Johnny Mack, who do you have at linebacker? How many are they going to keep, and who are the names?
Yeah, it's interesting. I want to find a way to keep Ben Van Sumeren on the team, but I don't know if I can find a way to do it. And you probably get him on the practice squad anyway. So they'll probably do it that way. But from all talk, and, you know, I would have kept six edge rushers if Vic Fangio didn't talk about Zach Bond as an off-ball linebacker, but he did. So now I got to move him there. So you have some versatility, you know, with him. He can play both. So maybe he serves as the sixth edge rusher and the fourth or fifth linebacker, off-ball stacked linebacker. Nakobe, obviously, Devin White, Trotz, Oren Burks.
Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to badlandsranch.com/save50 and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to badlandsranch.com/save50 today.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
Burks is, I think, going to be the game day third linebacker plus a key member of special teams in Zach Bond. So those are the only five linebackers I can keep. And that means Ben Van Sumeren's got to go to the practice squad. Not great, but, you know, it's interesting. I have more confidence in Oren Burks as a third linebacker than anything else. I think that's a good role for him.
Yeah,
you saw it in San Francisco.
He might suck, but at least you got a good third linebacker.
You saw it in San Francisco. He's a really good special teams player. He's a guy who can play if you need him to play. That's perfect for a third linebacker. But, yeah, I mean, that's the only guy I have real confidence in for his projected role.
John, before we move on, I want to ask this question. It's a big if, but let's just assume for a second, for the sake of the conversation, N'Kobe Dean stays 100% healthy for the entire football season.
Yeah.
Do you believe if he's healthy, he's a talented enough player to fill the role that we're looking for on linebacker? Is he going to be good enough to make the linebacker room competent?
I don't know. I have some questions about that, but that's the hope. Yes. But the hope is not a strategy.
Yeah. I'm not asking.
I will say this. If, you know, there's really only going to be one TJ Edwards who's always going to be on the field barring injury. And that better be N'Kobe Dean, because I don't know who else it could be. And I know everybody's going to default to Devin. We can have this discussion. I'm sure we'll have it ad nauseum. I mean, yeah. I don't know what those people are looking at. I mean,
Devin,
that's
White,
ridiculous.
365.
Yeah. I mean, $3.5 million. You know, if he were half the player people think he is, he'd be making $10 million minimum. Half the player they think he is. I don't get it.
But see what they end up doing. I'm with you on him, though. I'm not going into the season with high expectations for him. If he performs, that's great. I think that's great.
Yeah, great. Then you hit a lottery ticket and everything works out. You can spike the football. But yeah, that ain't
one
the plan.
This guy was talking about getting a $100 million contract from the Bucs, and obviously did not pan out that way. Now getting $3.5 million for a 1-year deal. So, look, we'll see. It's a wait and see game on the linebackers. I'm not sold though that Howie won't address it further. Howie,
yeah, you could, yeah, definitely you could see another name brought in at some point.
No, yeah, and then there's another position there. I think that as well, and we'll get to that. Let's go to cornerback, John. This one I think will be highly debated, and I think this is going to be the one position where you guys are going to have, where it will be good for you guys to see the practices, where even if it's just for a little bit. Like, I want to see who's playing where. But cornerbacks, how many are they keeping, and what are the names? Obviously, this is a deep, deep room now. Who do you have them keeping on the roster?
Yeah, this is by far the most difficult projection.
This is a tough one.
And, you know, I got burned last year. The question is, you know, how much do you value special teams? And that's why I took Mekhi Gardner over Eli Ricks last year, and I got burned by that. Right. Although Mekhi stuck around, obviously, and was on the practice squad. So the Eagles have kind of proven if they think somebody has coverage ability, they're going to lean on that more than special teams ability.
Yeah,
so
I guess
for that reason,
a higher value thing to keep around. Yeah.
Even though, you know, I think Josh Jobe is more impactful with how good he was as a
special teamer. He was fantastic on special teams. Yeah.
Unfortunately, I think he's out. So you have Darius Slay. And by the way, James Bradberry, I should mention. I don't believe he's going to be here. Yeah. So, and it's interesting, by the way, OTAs, as we said, starts today. Remember, they're voluntary. If I'm James Bradberry's agent, he's not there. I would be stunned if he shows up for voluntary work. Has to show up for mandatory minicamp or the fines start accumulating. But we'll see how that shakes out as well. So I have Slay, Mitchell, Cooper, Jean, Avante Maddox if healthy, big if. Kaylee Ringo's a 100%er. And then it comes down to the final two. I'm going to keep seven because they're so deep. And then we talk about Isaiah Rogers and keep factors into the kickoff returns as well. People think he's good. This is truly going to be a training camp battle.
Yeah.
Josh Jobe's in the mix and Eli Ricks is in the mix. I have Rogers and Ricks as the final two right
now. That's what I would go.
And I'd keep Josh because he's so good on special teams personally. I would value that more. But the Eagles proved what they value, and they think Eli's got significant coverage skills. I don't know where we are with Isaiah Rogers. We have to see how that shakes out. But he's got experience at least playing in Indianapolis. So right now I'm sticking with Rogers and Eli Ricks, but I want to find a way to keep Josh Jobe.
Yeah, because he was really good on special teams. But you're right. I mean, the one thing I wonder on this is – and maybe they would never do this, and you can tell me if that's the case. But if Isaiah Rogers can show that he still has it, maybe it's a big if, obviously, because he hasn't played at football in a while. Would they move on from Avante Maddox just for the sake of he's injured a lot? He's an older player. Like,
Put
Isaiah Rogers there, and then you can keep both Jobe and Ricks.
Yeah, by no means is Avante 100%. If he gets hurt again, even if it's like a hamstring, you know, soft tissue thing.
Right.
And he's not able to go throughout the summer, I think he might get cut. And yeah, that would be easier to do if Rodgers proves he can play in the slot, which he hasn't done, but his body type is probably better suited inside. So a lot of ifs.
He played outside when he was in Indianapolis, correct?
Yeah, he played outside because Indy had Kenny Moore, who's a tremendous slot corner.
In the slot, yep.
So a lot of questions. They can go a lot of ways at cornerback because they have a lot of bodies. And we haven't even brought up guys like Tyler Hall, who they signed as a free agent. He's a natural slot corner. So all of a sudden, if he jumps up, we don't even talk about poor Zach McPherson anymore. I don't see any way Zach's going to make the team. Tyler Hall's interesting, though, because if he shows up and he proves to be a good nickel corner, they could move on from Avante Maddox as well. But right now I'm going to default to Avante because I know he can play if he's healthy. I don't know if any of these other guys can play. So.
Yeah, I mean, if it were my ideal scenario, I think would be honestly moving on from Avante. I don't want to because he has been good when he's been available, but he's not available a lot. And if Isaiah can fill that role, then I think you can keep Jobe and Ricks. I just don't see them cutting Ricks for Jobe. Ricks played pretty – I mean, he had some significant snaps.
You know, the other way you can do it you can keep eight corners because Abonte's got some safety versatility.
Right.
And only keep three safeties.
Yeah, that would be,
because the only 100% safeties are CJ.
You gonna play big nickel with three safeties though, John?
Well, that's the thing, but you have eight corners. So, you know, CJ and Reed and Sidney Brown are the concrete safeties, and then you're down to Tristan McCollum or Mekhi Gardner, who I think is going to move to safety full time. We'll see how that shakes out.
Let me bring up this super chat real quick. It's a good question. Before we move to safety, how much does the ability to make it through the wire impact CB7 group, given don't want a repeat of our linebacker wreck that Howie learned from Maddox could make it through the wire? I do think they'll put thought into that. Howie does kind of play the roster sometimes. He does. You see him do that with the special teams guy where he
drops. Yeah, and that's, you know, maybe that's the way they're thinking, because there's no obvious for safety right now. And again, a lot of people are going to bring up Justin Simmons. I just wrote about that. I mean,
yeah, we talked about it on Friday.
Yeah, he's a starter or he's not. You know, you don't want him as a backup. And then
I like it. I mean, if you have CJ Gardner Johnson and Justin Simmons starting, and you have Reed Blankenship and Sidney Brown coming off the bench or in a smaller role, I think that's an improvement.
Well, it might be, but again, it's like, how much money does he want? You know, if he wants to play 1 year, if he wants Devin White's contract, yeah, come on in.
Yeah, right.
There's also
a couple other guys available. Is he the only one? I mean, Justin Simmons, Eddie Jackson,
they all have a history, but
they're on curse. They're all available.
Again, and they're all available, which should be a red flag. Number one. I think Justin Simmons is holding out for still over $10 million. I'm not paying him $10 million plus. If
they have the cap space available and Jeffrey Lurie is willing to spend the money, why not just do it? Like, I don't think Reed Blankenship or Sidney Brown are better than Justin Simmons, or really maybe even Eddie Jack. I know they're still out there, so it's like there's a red flag.
I improve
the team, and we think we're a Super Bowl contending team, go and improve the team. If it doesn't work, it doesn't work. That's part of the analysis.
Yeah, but it's also about, in Howie's mind, it's also about long-term as well. He's got a different job.
Yeah, I get it.
From Nick's perspective, you want to win on Sunday or game day. They play every day now.
But don't you kind of have the long-term questions already answered? I mean, Sidney Brown is young.
Well, they do, but sometimes people don't see the answers. All right. I get that people don't believe in Reed Blankenship. I don't know why, but the Eagles already signaled they believe in Reed Blankenship by buying out his restricted free agency year for $3.5 million, essentially. That's significant money. It may not seem significant money, but that's an indication they believe he is a starting safety. And then Sidney Brown is a player they love, and they don't want to, you know, relegate him. And I go, people say ACL. You know, if you've seen Sidney already, Sidney's very young, very athletic, way ahead of schedule. It's going to be a 9-month injury. So if he's not back week one, he's going to be back week two, week three. Those are their core guys, and they've kind of signaled that those are their core guys. Now, I'm not saying they're not going to bring Justin Simmons in if he wants to play at a very cost-effective rate.
Hey, it's $7 million, John, in between the 3.5 and 10.
Well, that's a tougher question. I'd say 5, yes, 7, probably not. 10, definitely not. I think they want Reed Blankenship to be the starter. I think they already signaled it. We know CJ's a starter, and then Sidney Brown. So you're talking about him as your fourth safety, which doesn't fit when you're building a roster. To me, he's either a starter, or you go ahead in the way you're going ahead. And maybe that's where they're getting the extra spot when they have so many corners, and we're talking about, well, how do you keep Job? How do you keep Ricks? How do you keep Rodgers? Maybe you keep them all because Avante Maddox is the fourth safety. He's the nickel corner and the fourth safety. And maybe you go about it that way. So that's how you can be a little bit unique and beat it a little bit and keep eight corners and only three safeties, you know, on paper. But you have versatile guys, and CJ is versatile. He can play safety and nickel as well. So, you know, it's more about bodies. It's more about 11 bodies than delineating safety versus corner. Maybe.
Yeah, I'm not going to rule out too that maybe it's not one of the older guys. Maybe Howie has a vision to make a trade or a move for somebody that's younger, better. You know, a proven player that's not 30 on the free agent market. Maybe, I mean, here's Steven Joseph, a good contributor, great watcher of Burns 365. What about a trade for Buda Baker? I love that.
We're still talking about Buda.
But I'd like to see him make a move like that. That would be great. But
no, I talked to Buda a lot last year. The Cardinals work things out, so Buda's not.
Buda's going to be staying in Arizona. Yeah.
I did, you know, he's a player. I don't think he would have been a fit for the Eagles, but I disagree with that because he's more of a, talking about Kyle Hamilton before. If you have a player like Buda Baker, you want to utilize him all over the field. Exactly. And he does a lot of different things. He can play the slot, he can blitz from the slot, he can cover, he can play deep safety. He's done it all throughout his career. And the Eagles in this scheme just don't use safeties that way. You know, can it change? I know anything can change. History says it's not going to change. You're going to see a bunch of too high looks, and they're going to spin off zone coverage from there. You know, if it's third and long, you'll see some single high, of course, but, you know, that'll probably morph into cover three more than anything else, or Bick calls it cover nine, his version. If you're going to play Kyle Hamilton in coverage all the time, do you have Kyle Hamilton? If you're going to play Buda Baker in coverage all, do you really have Buda Baker?
Yeah, right. You're not. You're diminishing the value of the player by not playing him where he's best. John, I have a question for you on the cornerbacks. While we're talking about the defensive backs, are you any concern for you at all on Darius Slay going into this season? He's the one guy nobody's questioning, and I'm not saying anybody should question him. He's the veteran. He's a Pro Bowl player. You know, he's a tremendous player, but he's really getting up there in age. You saw him get injured a little bit last season. He took a little bit of a step back in some games. There were some fans chirping at him. Any concern that he maybe takes a step back this year just from age, just from time in the league? I mean,
he's 33.
Yeah,
I mean, playing cornerback in the NFL. And he's
seems like nobody's talking about that, though, that might happen.
Well, he's got a chronic knee because he's the best. He's the best corner the Eagles have had in a very long time.
Yeah, and I don't want to take that away from him, but I will say, I mean, if he takes a step back, John, that's not going to be good. Like, we're counting on him. Even when we just go through the roster, you're counting on him to be – a bona fide.
Yeah, and there's where I do think Vic's defense helps Slay.
Helps Slay, yeah.
As he ages. You know, earlier in his career with Detroit, I mean, he was the best cover press corner in football. There was the one year, I think, I forget the number. He had almost 30 passes defended. I mean, he was unbelievable. He was just in everybody's hip pocket. He's not that player anymore, but
no, I mean, we can't expect him to be. The guy's 33 years old. He's been in the league for well over 10 years.
Yeah. He's so smart. He's so savvy. He can play off, and that's what the majority of this defense is going to be. I'm not concerned. Other than the injury, you know, the knee has been an injury, and he admitted last year it's been an issue with him for years. And he got it cleaned up sort of in season. And the question is, you know, how long is that going to hold up? So more from, I have some concerns from an injury standpoint than I know he can play. So that part of it, I'm not really concerned with.
Yeah, I do think Vic Fangio will get the most out of him, but I got to be honest that just because of how much we're hinging on, like when we talk about how deep this defensive back room is, like the one guy that's a no-brainer that everybody's slotting in is Slay, which is the right thing to do. I'm not knocking that. I'm not saying we're wrong for doing that. But boy, if he does get injured or he does take a significant step back, I mean, everybody's talking about how many bodies they got in the back end. Yeah, they got a lot of bodies, but they don't have a lot of proven talent.
No, well, yeah, that's the thing. They're all, and even, I mean, let's be honest. I mean, people are, Quinyon Mitchell and yeah, Cooper DeJean are already.
We have no idea what Quinyon Mitchell's
doing. They're completely unproven. All of it's unproven, but you do have a bunch of guys who look like they have significant upside. And I throw Kaylee Ringo into that pot as well. And even Eli Ricks from a coverage standpoint, my concern with Eli is run support. So I don't know if he can be a full-time starter. Coverage-wise, I think he's way ahead of the game. So you do have a lot of – and Isaiah Rogers, again, has proven he could do it in a small sample size. And we'll see how the year off affects him because that could be a big thing as well. But at least they have guys who have some upside. And that's – you would think – not all of them are going to hit, but you would think at least one is going to hit.
Yeah. So, well, that's the most debated part of the roster, I think, without a doubt, where the defensive backs, who they're going to keep, cornerbacks, safeties, there's a lot of different moves they can do. I don't think they're going to move Cooper DeJean to safety, or maybe Avante Maddox even could be a guy that can.
Well, and Cooper, I should have mentioned Cooper as well, because, yeah, I mean, Cooper's part of that.
I don't think that's what they want to do with him. And the fear might be once you do it, he's going to be really good at it, and then you're not
going to
be.
I think the opposite. They have enough confidence in his ability. Like, I think they want him on the field early. And the only way they're going to get him on the field is the slot or that big nickel role, which is that extra safety. So I'm glad you brought him up. I should have mentioned him as well. He's another part of that equation where maybe he can go heavy at corner, light at safety, because he can play safety as well, at least in theory. And yeah, once you get down to 53, I always go back to Avante's rookie season. The Eagles didn't want to play him at safety. They had to play him at safety. And he held up pretty well.
Yeah, so we'll see how it plays out. Just to put a conclusion on the 53-man, the specialist, as Johnny Mack mentioned at the front, will be Jake Elliott, Braden Mann, and Rick Lovato. No questions there, no debates, nothing to talk about with those three. So that's it for our 53-man roster projection, and that is it for Monday's edition of Birds 365. I want to thank all of our viewers, Daz, M. Reyes, SMD Eagles, Twiz the Jigga, Time Gadsden, James Jones. There's multiple Jameses in here. James Carver, we appreciate all you guys. Anybody I missed in the chat, Niners all damn day, we appreciate all of you guys for being in the chat. Make sure you hit the like button on your way out. We'll be back with you tomorrow for Tuesday's edition of Birds 365. Johnny Mack, good show today, sir. I'll see you tomorrow. All right, man.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, everybody. We'll see you tomorrow on Birds 365.
If you missed any of today's show on the Jacob Media channel, listen to the podcast on your way home. Available on YouTube, Apple, and Spotify.
At Nutrafol, we don't just help your hair, we help your body grow it. Because it's never just about your hair. It can be your job, or your deodorant, or your lunch, or just normal life. That's why our whole body approach targets the key root causes of hair thinning. Discover your root causes and why we're the number one dermatologist recommended hair growth supplement brand at Nutrafol.com. That's Nutrafol.com.
These statements have not been approved by the FDA. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease paid for by Nutraceutical Wellness, Inc.